Hello, thank you for joining us from the second day of the 12th International Conference of INSS. Following the panel about Syria and basically the Iranian intervention in Syria and the international reactions from here and there, with us Philip Smythe, which is a SORE Fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to ask you about the Iranian intervention and basically the Iranian recruiting and the deploying of forces of militias all around Syria. How does this work? And how do you think is it possible for Israel and other parties, including the United States, to restrain and then contain it based on the situation on the ground?
Okay, I'm going to start off with how the Iranians are building this, and that's a whole story unto itself. What they've done is they've tried to craft different organizations that are based along their Hezbollah model, which we know from Lebanon. So there's often a social section, a military section. They try to get involved in local politics. Not all of them do that, but the vast majority do. And so a lot of these groups, when they were trying to look for recruits, they would go to Iraq, they would go within the Afghan refugee community in Iran. Within Syria, they picked out not just Shia Muslims, because, you know, we hear a lot of the issues about, you know, sectarianism, but they'd also reach out to different Sunnis, they reach out to Druze, pretty much any group they could, to bring them in and kind of bring them under a general Islamic resistance or resistance type of identity. There's another element to this as well, which is also their pushing of the Islamic Revolution. They view this as another extension of the revolution, because the revolution began in 1979, and yes, it attained a state, which is Iran. Now it's the Islamic Republic of Iran. And this ideology, it's called absolute wilayat al-faqih. So Lebanese Hezbollah believes in this. Groups in Iraq like Qatab Hezbollah and Asayb Ahl al-Haq, they believe in this concept. But they want to create little replicas of Hezbollah just like that, that believe in these causes, and then eventually kind of push them within the local populations. So you see there's a very, very long-term strategy here for building the groups. But where does Syria pop in with all of this? You know, how does Syria affect it? In addition to building local groups on the ground, they need these organizations because their primary focus is military, it's jihad. They need to get them to have some experience. But they also, if they're trying to bolster an ally, their only true Arab ally was Bashar al-Assad, or it still is Bashar al-Assad in Syria, well, they promised to provide forces for him. Well, where else are you going to get them? You get them from the proxies that you've crafted. And thinking about that long-term strategy, that's what they're saying. Okay, we can get them experience fighting these multitude of different groups, but that's not the end goal. I mean, I think a lot of people, especially in the United States, they think, oh, well, you know, they supplied foreign fighters and that's fine. They all go home and maybe some will leave. Who cares? Whatever. No, that long-term process that I was discussing before extends out to their enemies. Their main enemies still remain the State of Israel, still remain the United States, Saudi Arabia. And where do you think these forces are going to go in the future? They're going to be focused at that. And Syria, for them, was a golden opportunity. It's a golden opportunity to gain training, to gain other experience, to have different groups of different backgrounds to cooperate together under Iranian leadership. When you look at a future potential larger conflagration in the region that would involve Israel, obviously it's going to involve these forces, but not just Lebanese Hezbollah. Now you might have tens of thousands of Iraqis. You might have a couple thousand Afghans that are controlled by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps in Iran. So with a picture like that, the entire picture has actually just been completely altered. And so it changes a lot of things on the ground. But they couldn't have gained that without Syria. They couldn't have gained that without that battle there. They also couldn't have gained the geostrategic and geopolitical influence that they had wanted. They so wanted this for many, many years in Syria right now without that conflict. So this is pretty much where they've stopped.
So from this point on, is it, as far as I understand from what you say, very difficult to reverse the process, or even irreversible in the near future, or there is a key that can be used to try to make this big change?
I don't believe anything is irreversible. I'm not going to get into the the philosophical nature of the question. But what I will say is, you know, if it's coming down to Iran's foes, what ends do they want? Do they want to turn it back? Let's take Israel, for instance. Mm-hmm. Either you manage a conflict or you take responsibility and you handle it. You have the war. You fight it till the last man standing. I don't know if that kind of attention is really, you know, being focused like that of Jerusalem, like if they really want a conflict like that. Mm-hmm. I think Hezbollah and other groups, other Shia militia groups that the Iranians run coming out of Syria, I mean, they don't see an end of this. I mean, they're doing a slow process. They're very, very patient players. And I think right now, you know, Israel technically has the high ground for a little bit. The question is, for how long do they have it? And I think that's really the only way one could actually reverse a process like this. Because, you know, unless you're going to take the bull by the horns, as they say, then it's just going to keep growing.
And obviously, both Israel and both Iran expressed some kind of a will to avoid war. As you say it here, it's like the struggle between the wars. So, I mean, do you see this also from the other side? Do you think that Iran would do anything to avoid the cost, the heavy cost of a major war?
For now. For now. They're not ready for it. The Iranians play the game of when they're ready and the right tactical and the right strategic opportunities present themselves, then they'll take it. I mean, this is how they've always played the game, or at least attempted to play the game. They haven't always been successful. I don't want them to sound like they're 10 feet tall, but that's how they've done this. And I think for now, they're not ready to, you know, fully commit to a conflict with the state of Israel. Why? They still have to manage their affairs in Syria. They still have, you know, tens of thousands of fighters that are on the ground. Hezbollah is relatively taxed. I don't want to pretend that they are so overtaxed that they can't do anything with Israel. But they need to get ready. I think the other issue is, you know, remembering back to the War of Attrition in 1968, 1970, around that time. Hezbollah may be looking at an opportunity where they could do something like that. When do the rockets, like how long do their rockets go off for if they're going to attack the Israelis? Will the Israelis go all the way to Beirut? We don't know. But Hezbollah may try to manage it so that they can maintain the image that there's still the resistance against the Israelis using those tactics and maybe using more advanced weapons. And that's something that also worries me because, you know, we, and myself included, we all kind of look for the future sexy conflict, the big war, this huge thing that's going to happen. And it might not necessarily do that. Nasrallah himself has come out, and he's said this a few times, that Israel's a spider's web. He loves using this reference. It looks strong and it's very sturdy, but if you just put your hands through it and you rip it apart, that's how it goes. Well, they've figured this out where, you know, being in Tel Aviv for the first time in 15 years, the place is totally different. And the economy's booming. I'm seeing like hipster people drinking their beers and doing their things. All you need to do is send a couple of rockets into Tel Aviv every once in a while. What happens to the economy? It kind of hurts things. And we're also talking about a group that's under sanction by the US, which is hurting them. Maybe they want to play the economic game. Maybe it's something else. But I think that people should be a little bit worried, not just about, you know, issues that directly I deal with, like the buildup of these Iraqi Shia militias and also some of the other Iranian creations that are there, but also the potential for smaller conflagrations, smaller conflicts that might only last a week, but somehow, you know, the stock exchange tanks for Israeli companies, or maybe there's a lack of investment, or maybe there's a two-front mini conflict that develops and alters the situation. And I think there is a potential for that in the future.
And based on what you heard during this panel, do you think Israel is seeing eye to eye with what you've just presented, preparing itself not only for the major escalation, but also for periods or, you know, weeks maybe of escalation, two fronts? What do you think about what you heard from the Israeli side here?
I mean, I think many people in Washington included are still looking at the big war, the potential big war, because that's what's being talked about on all sides. And again, I think it has that kind of sexy factor. You know, this is the big war. You know, people want to look at that. And I think the attention, though, is shifting, where people are realizing that the game is a hell of a lot more complex than what many would kind of want it to be. I mean, I'm not saying people want a big war here, but I think when we're dealing with a couple of rockets or a small incident or a warning here and there, it might sound better, but there are also other long-term effects. And I think those long-term effects are being calculated by other groups in the region.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.